Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello everyone and welcome along to this week's La Liga Lowdown Matchday Recap episode with me, your host Jude McTeer, and with this episode rebroadcast on Sirius XMFC 157. We're recapping Matchday 29 of the La Liga season in this episode, but we're also going to look back at the biggest game in Spain of the weekend. That was last season's Copa del Rey final, the All-Basque 2019-20 final that was postponed from last April due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It was finally played this Saturday, and it was quite an occasion. Starting off under a Basque-esque rainstorm, really all that was missing was the fans. We normally have our sore throat game of the week segment at the end of part one of each of these podcasts. This is the segment where we bring you the wackiest commentary from a particular match, but we're going to bring it to you now as Matt Clark recaps the sounds of the cup final. Listen in and enjoy this Copa del Rey final report.
The All Basque Copa del Rey final was a very special match, and it had a special result. Real Sociedad won their first trophy for 34 years, and the winning goal was scored by their captain, Mikel Oyarzabal, the perfect symbol of the club, of Zubieta, of Gipuzkoa. He had missed his last two penalties, and had also failed from the spot in the Supercopa in January, but this time he made no mistake. Here is how it sounded on Onda Cero with the great Alfredo Martinez on the microphone.
Gol! De la Real Sociedad! Capitán! 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 Mikel Oyarzabal!
At the final whistle, Raúl Varela of Radio Marca captured the moment of triumph over three decades in the making. It's over. Champions of the Copa, champions of Spain, Real Sociedad of San Sebastián, Oyarzabal, heir to Roberto López Urfarte, Imanol repeats the feat of John Toshak. In the moments immediately after the euphoria, Oyarzabal emotionally spoke to the television cameras, voice almost breaking, tears in his eyes, speaking from the heart.
Esto es para todos, para mi familia, para mis amigos, para todo el Real Sale que está aquí con nosotros, que los hemos sentido y esto es la hostia.
This is for everyone, for family, friends and all the Real Sale. We feel them, this is la hostia. When Athletic enjoyed recent success, Asier Villalibre had been quick to bring out the trumpet. Well, at the celebration dinner, La Real's Asier, Iyara of course, was the chief player in the band, and all the team sung along. But we have to finish with Imanol. At the end of his presser, he went from coach to fan, putting on the club shirt and holding a scarf above his head. He erupted into song and pure fan emotion. This is for all Guipuzcoa, all those who support La Real, he declared. This video has had more than 2 million views at the time of recording, and here it is in all its glory.
Guipuzcoa, todos conmigo, eh?
Pure raw emotion there from the Real Sociedad coach Imanol. If that press room had been full of journalists there in person instead of on a press conference Zoom call, I know he would have been given a standing ovation as he produced that emotional outburst in his blue and white Real Sociedad shirt as well. Let's keep analysing the final now by speaking to football journalist, author, Real Sociedad fan and long-time San Sebastian resident Phil Ball. Having supported this club all these years, what did Saturday night's win mean to you, Phil?
Well, it means a lot to me, and for various reasons. I haven't really got long enough to explain those, but I've been here for 30 years, and you know, part of my ability, I think, to settle down here, to assimilate to Basque culture and Spanish culture has been partly due to Real Sociedad. You know, we've been involved with the club. You know, my son played in the junior ranks, and you know, he played for the feeder side. You know, I've seen the inside of the club, and I can tell you, I'd like to take this opportunity, in fact, to say that I'm very proud to be a supporter of this club, because I just think they're good people. I think it's a good club. I think it's well run. I think there are a lot of things. You must remember last season in the cup run, the first game they played was at Becerril. It was against a side in Tercera, the third division, and Real Sociedad won 8-0. And subsequently invited the whole pueblo, the whole town, which was a population of 7,000, to a freebie in Anoeta. You know, they bussed the whole population over here, gave them bought them lunch and a freebie into the game. It was against Valencia eventually. Now, you know, that wasn't some kind of publicity stunt. You didn't actually see much of it in the press. You know, you had to really strain to find that in the press. And, you know, that's a measure of this club. And I think that they've done things in the past as well. I've written about them, you know, and I wouldn't do it. You know, you can support a club and know very well that they're not very nice or something, but you still support them because that's the way it is. I'm very proud to be associated with this club and to write about them. And I'm really, really happy that they won.
I know you watched it in San Sebastian. What was the scene and the buzz like in the city during the game and at full time?
During the game, well, I don't know, because the game started at 9:30, and here in San Sebastian, anyway, the bars close at 8:00, so the game was scheduled deliberately to make sure that there were no agglomerations or conglomerations of sweaty folks jumping up and down in bars, you know. That was perfectly deliberate. The curfew on the streets here is 10:00, so there was nobody jumping in fountains after the game, if that's what you mean. What was interesting was that when the game finished, which was pretty late, no? 11:30, 11:45, because of the 8 minutes extra time, I went out onto the balcony, and there were just people shouting and screaming, and you couldn't see anybody. You know? Nobody was popping champagne corks and spraying each other, but the whole balcony thing was amazing, you know. And people were just shouting and shouting, and dogs were barking and people were howling, and for quite a while it was great.
Back in Seville, it was the injured club captain Asier Yaramendi who lifted the trophy, but is it right to say that the real captain of this team in the present and in the future is the vice-captain and match winner Mikel Oyarzabal?
Yes, they gave the trophy to Iliara. I thought that was great, you know, that they did that. Iliara's standing in the club, I think, it was reflected and illustrated in that act of generosity towards him. And you know, Iliara actually didn't really have much to do with the cup run last season because he was injured in the derby, which was back in October last season. But that's really not the point. You know, the point was that he is the captain of the side and is something of an institution here, you know, and well respected, and so that was why they did that, and I thought that was cool. But obviously, Mikel Oyarzabal is the present captain. He's only 23, you know, he's been captain now for a whole year. It's pretty amazing to be the captain, but he is a captain-like person. He's a pretty serious chap, you know, and he's respected. I mean, that took some balls to take that penalty, you know. Can you imagine the pressure of history on him, you know? And he, of course, he's a great penalty taker, but the three before that he'd missed, you know. He suddenly had this wobble in the penalties after scoring, I think it was 17 consecutively. It was extraordinary. You know, he missed that one against Man United, and then it seemed to set off a chain. And of course, but that's the stuff the guy's made of. You know, he's an excellent player, and he's an excellent guy, and very happy for him. You know, and he's, yeah. I think your question is suggesting that he's the future captain, and I think that is the case. I think that when Iliara is up and running and healthy again, then he'll go back to being second skipper. But, you know, I think the question of whether Iliara is going to be up and running again is still in some doubt, you know. So Mikel's the man, yeah. Mikel's the man for pretty much the present and pretty much the future, yeah.
Now, I messaged you, Phil, in the week before the final, and you told me that you feared that Inigo Martinez might score a match winner for Athletic against his former club. I replied by trying to keep your spirits up by saying, well, maybe he'll give away a penalty instead, and maybe that's a narrative you can get behind. And, well, that's what happened. Inigo Martinez, I mean, he was always going to be a protagonist, wasn't he? And he even came close to scoring a goal too.
Yeah, when he hit that shot with his right foot, amazingly, that Ramiro tipped over the bar. I must say, I was about to have some kind of heart attack there if that had gone in. As you're saying, I had this recurring nightmare about Inigo Martinez scoring the winner in the 93rd minute. You know, kissing the badge and lifting the trophy. That would have been particularly difficult, I think, for Real Sociedad fans far and wide, you know. Inigo's a bit of a kind of pantomime villain for us here, you know. And I don't think because of going to Bilbao, I think part of the problem was just some of the things he said when he went. He could have been a little bit smarter, I think, in that sense. But it's all part of the mix, you know. It's all part of the game. It's not really a horrible, nasty thing towards him, you know, but he was hoisted on his own petard, as the phrase goes, I think. And, you know, the fact that he gave away the penalty and could have, in fact, given away two penalties, I still think that was a handball, you know. Whether it should have been or not isn't the point. The referee had blown it, and I think it was inside. But anyway, whatever. The fact that he didn't go off doesn't matter now, but you know, if Athletic had equalised or Inigo himself had equalised later on, then there would have been all hell to play, of course. But it didn't happen, and actually Martinez was great after the game. There's footage of him walking around talking to all the Real players, and it's all pretty cool. So you know, we've forgiven him, but indeed he was the protagonist.
Lastly, Phil, will Real Sociedad fans like yourself ever allow Athletic to live this defeat down?
No, of course not. Of course not. That's the whole point. Athletic fans for the last 30 years since I've been here have been poking fun at Real Sociedad for not having any trophies compared to Athletic, you know. But of course, Athletic forget that in the post-Franco period, the trophy record of the two clubs is almost identical. So it was in that, if you like, that pre-modern period when Athletic won all those trophies. They did win some in the 50s, it's true, but that's inevitable for a club that's always had the industrial muscle of a much bigger city. You know, one would expect that. But no, they won't allow them to live it down. A lot of people that I work with, I work in education most of the time, and a lot of people that I work with are actually from Vizcaya and are Athletic fans. It's part of the cultural mix, you know. And so because I'm not going back to work until next week, at least there's a bit of time to get all the memes ready and rehearse all the Mickey takes, which is going to be great, of course. But as you're suggesting, it might well go on for the next 20 years. Great stuff.
I don't doubt it. Well, congrats, Phil, and congrats to Real Sociedad. They'll need to have some of those memes ready in time for Wednesday already, because These two teams actually have their match day 29 league fixture against each other this Wednesday night, in San Sebastian no less. So that will certainly be interesting. For now, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back to discuss the league matches that took place this weekend. And there were some important ones. That's coming up after this short pause.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back into this episode of La Liga Lowdown. We're looking at match day 29 and we're going to start the second half of the podcast by addressing one of the games with the least significant result, but potentially the most significant incident. On Sunday, Cadiz beat Valencia 2-1, but really the scoreline isn't what's important because the game was temporarily suspended in the first half after Mukhtar Diakabi told the referee that he'd been racially abused by Cadiz's Juan Cala. The Valencia players walked off the pitch together only to return later and finish the game without Diakabi, who was subbed off. Let's get the lowdown on what went on there by bringing in Paco Pollock now. As far as we know, Paco, what was it that happened with Diakabi in Cadiz versus Valencia?
I believe we can use the match report for most of the information that we didn't have available during the actual game. In the 29th minute, Mukhtar Diakabi began chasing Juan Cala around the pitch while waving his arms after an allegedly racial slur from the local player. Diakabi stated to the ref that he had been called negro de mierda by Juan Cala and was out of his mind. The ref booked Diakabi for his complaints while the player had to be held back by a few teammates. Then Gabriel Paulista asked the defender if he wanted to leave the pitch, so the whole Valencia squad left, soon followed by Valencia's coach and staff. The whole Cadiz lineup followed suit, and for a few minutes, talks were held inside the locker rooms to see how to proceed. Valencia as a club claimed that the referee warned them that leaving mid-game could mean not only losing these 3 points, but also an additional 3-point deduction and more consequences. After learning this, apparently Diakabi told the rest of the team to go back out to play, even though he wouldn't because he felt upset and he wasn't feeling fit to do so after the whole incident.
Do you personally think the Valencia players should have gone back out to finish this game?
No, 100% not. Valencia should have remained in the locker room and the game should have been over after such a serious incident took place. I don't really know why the team changed their mind. but surely the board should have stood by the lads and support them. Unfortunately, the last 2 years have been a constant disappointment in this sense, with Valencia's board being one of the weakest in the league, with no real weight or influence in La Liga, so I kind of understand how such a young squad felt pressured to play the full game. But that's definitely not the way to go if you want to make a real stand against racial abuse.
Okay, thanks, Paco. Yes, 100%. There can be no place for racist behaviour anywhere, and a player like Diakabi should never be put in that position of having to walk off the pitch and then of having to decide whether to tell his teammates if they should stay or go back out. So, yeah, really ugly scenes there on Sunday that made the remainder of that match, well, very insignificant, to be honest. Let's talk now about the title race, okay? Barcelona haven't played yet in this match day because they've got a Monday night fixture against Real Valladolid, but they'll have been thrilled to see that Atletico Madrid dropped yet more points. They went away to Sevilla, and Sevilla were really good. They had an early penalty that Jan Oblak saved from Lucas Ocampos, but it ultimately didn't matter because Sevilla went on to win 1-0 anyway. Ocampos was involved in the goal too, well, sort of. His outstretched arm blocked a Kieran Trippier clearance to win back possession for Sevilla. Then, 15 passes and 40 seconds later, Marcus Acuña headed in a Jesus Navas cross. The handball was quite clear, but VAR couldn't intervene because it wasn't considered to be part of the actual build-up to the goal. Atletico were angry about that, and Koke criticised the refereeing after the game, even if subtly. But Atletico, they need to look at themselves and at their own recent performances, because Barcelona are in good form, Real Madrid too, and it was a 2-0 win for Real Madrid over Eibar on Saturday in their game, and it could have been more because they had 3 goals disallowed for offside too, the right call, but it showed that they were really up for this. Let's discuss that game then, and their upcoming clash with Liverpool as well. We'll do that now with Real Madrid reporter Emily Wilson. Just how perfect a Saturday afternoon was this for Real Madrid, Emily? You know, managing to get the 3 points while rotating the team and resting some players at the same time.
To be honest, I think that was one of the best results any Madrid fan could have asked for on a weekend preparing for, you know, some tough matches ahead in the schedule. Rotation in the squad, always good for injuries. Always good to get some fresh legs on the pitch. And to be honest, I thought it was actually a pretty well done performance considering how many changes Zidane brought into the squad as well. You know, people in different positions. You had both Mendy and Marcelo playing at the same time too. That was also a nice feat to see. Overall, a win over Eibar is, another confident result for the side.
Going back to Marcelo, what did you think of him playing together with Ferland Mondi? And do you think we could see that partnership together against Liverpool?
I think the Marcelo and Mendy partnership was interesting. Again, I didn't see Marcelo starting this game at all. I did think it was just going to be Mendy, but seeing the Brazilian come in was a nice surprise. I think they handled the flank well. However, I don't think Zidane will have enough confidence going into, you know, that tough match against Liverpool coming up ahead. Even if there's 2 legs to the game in the Champions League, I think he'll go for the regular lineup that he has been doing throughout the competition. Though, as we get close to the end of the season, I think having the ability to see that both Marcelo and Mendy can play together is a positive note. Again, it helps with the rotation of the squad. As we know, Madrid have had a plethora of injuries this season. So if anything like that happens in the next few matches as the season rounds out, it's good to know that the two of them can play together. So overall, a positive thing. I just think having the one cameo of the two of them operating down the flank is not enough to actually have Zidane start them against the Reds.
Obviously, there's no Sergio Ramos for that Liverpool game. Just how big a blow is that?
I think in any game, not having Sergio Ramos in that Madrid backline is always detrimental. I believe out of the last 10 Champions League matches in particular that Madrid haven't had Ramos, they've suffered 7 losses. And, you know, 7 out of 10, 70%, that's a huge, huge statistic. Ramos is the captain of the club, first of all. He has a true leadership mentality for that back line. And second of all, he has that experience. He's been at the club for so long, knows how to carry himself, knows how to carry his teammates in important matches, and he does it time and time again. So definitely against Liverpool, this is a massive loss.
Was there any negative from a Real Madrid point of view from this game against Eibar? Anything you think Jurgen Klopp might have been intrigued by?
Honestly, there wasn't too many negatives from that result against Eibar. I thought Benzema was good. Marco Asensio, also a phenomenal match from him, especially because he hasn't been performing as we know he can exactly in the last few matches. The substitutes also had good showings, in my opinion. So Vinicius Jr., even Rodrigo, though he didn't get a goal, he was super close at some times. So nice to see the substitutions are doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and that's make a difference and have an impact. The one thing I would be concerned about is something that Real Madrid have struggled with for the last couple seasons, and that's just scoring the goals. You know, two offside goals in the first half and then another one in the second half that was ruled out, a total of three that are all waved off. That's a bit frustrating. Not even a bit frustrating, just very frustrating for a side who, over the last few seasons, as I said, has been struggling to find goals. In my opinion, I wouldn't be surprised if Real Madrid and Liverpool went 0-0 for most of the first leg, and then the match ended up with a slim margin to decide the winner. It's all gonna come down to finishing. And I think that's the same issue that Jurgen Klopp has with his side as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think Real Madrid will have to find a way to stifle Diogo Jota, who's been on fire as of late for the Reds. But at the same time, with the way the back line has been, I think they can stifle any attacking threat from Liverpool. And hopefully they find enough in their gears to get one past Alisson.
Okay, thanks, Emily. Moving on to some of the other fixtures from the weekend. Huesca moved off the bottom of the table with a very good 2-0 win away at Levante, with Rafa Mir scoring both the goals in that one. Huesca are 18th now, still inside the relegation zone and 2 points behind 17th placed Elche, who collected a point with a well-earned 1-1 draw against Inform Real Betis. At the very bottom of the table then, we have Eibar and Alaves, both on 23 points. Eibar, as we mentioned, lost to Real Madrid. Alaves, meanwhile, they lost 3-1 to Celta Vigo, and it could have been a lot worse, actually. They were 3-0 down after just 20 minutes. With reports of infighting in the Alaves dressing room, it's not a good situation there at all, and they are the team towards the bottom with the least encouraging signs right now. Osasuna and Getafe in 14th and 15th look to be high enough up to be safe, and they met this weekend playing out an absolutely dreadful 0-0 draw. There was one good moment in that game, though, as everyone's favourite Maverick striker, Chimi Avila, was back from injury. After 435 days out, he played a La Liga game once again. There's just one game left that we've not mentioned, and that's Granada versus Villarreal from Saturday. It was a clash between Spain's two remaining Europa League sides, but Villarreal were far superior on the day and won this game 3-0. With Gerard Moreno scoring a hat-trick. We've not heard from our good friend and Villarreal fan Alan Dodson for a while, so let's bring this episode to an end with some thoughts shared by Alan on this victory, on Gerard Moreno being amazing, and on the team's Europa League chances. Over to you, Alan.
Hey guys, Villarreal have seemed like they've turned a corner with 5 wins, 3 in the league and 2 in the Europa League recently. I do think that one of the things about Unai Emery's approach to the game is he's been tinkering a lot with formations, but also recently lineups, and I think that that's really paid off. And we've managed to get many of our injured players back, which has helped too. So yeah, I think we are feeling pretty good right now in terms of how the team is doing. Gerard Moreno, Gerard right now is just on fire. I think he's kind of like the when you hear a golfer talk about how the hole suddenly just seems like it's really big and the ball is going to go into it. I think that's probably the way the net looks to him right now. It's hard to hard to argue against him being one of the top strikers in La Liga right now. Top players. He's, I think, 19 goals out of 24. And I think it's not just the goals. He's not a pure striker. You know, he's somebody who really, I've always thought of him as someone who sort of drops back toward the midfield, gathers the ball, and makes things happen from there. Even when he first came up to our first team the year we were in the Segunda, the thing that impressed me right away was the fact that he makes other players around him better. And I think that's just as important as the goal scoring. When you look at his effort every game, it's just been tremendous. And I think he's clearly one of the players that I would put on my La Liga team of the year, no question. And we now look ahead to the Europa League. It was interesting that we played Granada because they also have a midweek Europa League tie. On paper, ours looks easier. I think you'd rather be facing Dinamo Zagreb than Manchester United, for sure. And it's also generally thought to be an advantage to have the second leg at home, which Villarreal does and Granada does not. So, yeah, on paper, it looks like an easier tie for us. One advantage, I think, for us is we aren't playing in front of a really hostile crowd there, which well, the last time we played them in Europe, which was way back in 2010-11 in the group stage, I think. I remember the atmosphere there was a little heated. I never saw so many flares in my life. I think it's on paper, it's got to be a good tie for us. And certainly we're going into it with a lot of momentum. I think we can probably, I don't know that we'll come back with a win, but I think we can probably get a result and get a score draw or something at least. And that would be fine. I think the key is really scoring a goal in the away leg. And if we can win 2-1, so much the better.
So Villarreal will be taking on Dinamo Zagreb this midweek. Granada face Manchester United, and it's Real Madrid versus Liverpool 2, plus that midweek Basque derby in the league. So be sure to follow La Liga Lowdown on social media to keep on top of it all. Right now, I just want to thank all the contributors we've had to this week's episode. Thanks to Matt Clark, Phil Ball, Paco Pollitt, Emily Wilson, and Alan Dodson there. I've been your host, Drew McTeer, and we'll be back at the same time next week to talk about Match Day 30, the match day of El Clásico. So, speak to you then. And thanks for listening today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.